Hello, everybody. Welcome to That's Football and the Goldfish Days Football Premier League review. It's going to go off today. Get ready to fasten your seatbelts because we're not going to sugarcoat it like the mainstream. VAR is an absolute farce. It's ruining football. Arsenal have been robbed. Villa have been robbed. Chelsea have been robbed. Wolves have been robbed. Everton have been robbed. Southampton's been robbed. Will's been robbed. But that was something that happened in London and he's reported it. But absolute disgrace. Will, don't you be going the opposite because you think it's good for content here. This is we've been on about this for 18 months. It's a bloody disgrace. And I said this last week. Webb goes on a bloody podcast on some PR thing, dunking custard creams, when actually he's dunking on the fans again. Absolute disgrace, Howard. Absolute disgrace. And the big one I want to start off with is not the Man City farce, Arsenal. Saliba shouldn't have been sent off.
No.
No, definitely. 100%. 100%. I've changed my mind.
Come on.
No, I've changed my mind. You know why?
You've been dunking with Dean Ashton.
No, 100%. No. You know what? I'm going to start off with Arsenal being robbed because they're basically probably out of the title race now.
I know what you're doing here.
They've had two red cards, which cost them points. Saliba sent off on half an hour at 0-0. Martinelli misses a big chance. They've lost that game of football. They've lost 3 points. If you're an Arsenal fan today, you'd be bloody fuming because when I saw that Saliba red card on Saturday night, I looked at it and I went, I understand why Arsenal fans are frustrated because at the end of the day, Saliba's sort of got tangled up. It's the last man. It's only half an hour in the game. Technically, I think it's a red card because he's the last man.
Yeah.
Then I watched the Chelsea-Liverpool game and I'm like, well, technically, Tosin has took Jota out. But I actually tweeted about this yesterday. I said, are we giving the red card because you're fouling the last man or are we taking into account the pace of the recovery players? Because Saliba was not a goal scoring opportunity. If Saliba doesn't foul him,
yeah.
Saliba would catch him a piece of piss.
How do you know?
Because
what do you mean?
I'm coming to a point here because when you look at the foul on Jota by Tosin, I think Colwill will catch Jota because he's quicker than Jota, but he's 5 metres behind. So they see that they're either both a red card or they're both a yellow card.
I don't think that's correct.
Well, come on then.
Yeah, no, come on then. Let's go.
Have it.
Yeah, we'll go.
But I'm absolutely convinced.
No, I think the ball, you have to look at the trajectory of the ball over from the Arsenal one, that it was more clear that the striker was going to get onto the end of that. I think we both agreed on that.
Saliba would have caught him.
No, he didn't. One, he knows he's not going to catch him. That's why he fouls him. He does foul him.
He's trying to get on the side of him.
I don't think that one's debatable.
I tell you what, they're both on the halfway line.
No, but it's not saying...
It's a long road to Tipperary there.
It's not saying it's a red card for... It's a clear goal-scoring opportunity, is it not?
It's a clear opportunity.
He's going to be one-on-one with the keeper. I'm not saying he would score because he's not been that prolific.
How can you be one-on-one from the keeper on the halfway line?
Because what is he going to do?
He's got a run.
He's in front
what
of
if he
the
trips pl- over his lace.
Oh my God!
No, I'm joking about that. But he's got to get onto it. He's got to control it.
Yes.
His first touch has got to be good. He's still then got.
Yeah, but you can apply
Saliba.
All the same things as to the defender. You can say Saliba's got to catch him. Saliba's got to get round him. Saliba's got to get down and make a sliding tackle. Saliba's got to do all that. Everything you can apply to the striker, you've got to apply to the defender.
But my point is, I said yesterday morning that I actually felt it was a red card. I think it was a bit unlucky.
Well, you just said it wasn't a red card.
No, what's my phone, dear? I want my live chat up. But when I saw the toss-in one yesterday and they didn't give it, this is my big problem with VAR. It doesn't know its arse from its elbow. I don't want people to think, oh, Goldbridge is saying it's not a red card for Saliba because yesterday morning I thought it was. But when I saw the tossing thing,
this
is the problem I have with VAR.
No, we'll talk
about it with the Man City one. We've seen multiple goals not given for what Man City got yesterday. And people go, oh, I don't know what you're moaning about. It's a goal for Man City. What I'm moaning about is I don't care if you think it is a goal, but you've got to acknowledge it's massively controversial because of goals that have not been given. Anyway, we'll talk about that one in a minute. I'm saying about the Arsenal goal is Saliba fouls him on the halfway line and he's the last man. Give him a red card. I'm okay with that. Tosin fouls Jota on the halfway line. We don't give him a red card. And this is what I'm talking about. We are football. We watch football. But what about the converts? What about the new? What about the people who want to understand football? And that is where Howard Webb and the PGMOL are letting football fans down because they are so inconsistent, it is confusing. So Are we looking at recovery pace of players there? Because if it's Harry Maguire who is in the Colwill position, he ain't never catching Jota. If it's Colwill in the recovery position, he will catch him. But you can't apply that to rules. You can't go, depends who the player is 5 metres behind and whether he's going to catch him. What you say is, where was the ball going to land? Well,
yeah, and also
the context of a Bournemouth player running through one-on-one and Jota running through one-on-one, I would imagine Jota's first touch will handle a bit more difficult ball. So
no, but also,
I think you've just got to say...
Colwell's in closer in the vicinity.
He's
than
5 metres behind.
No, but he's closer in the vicinity.
But he's still 5 metres behind.
But and also, I just think it's a different... Like, but I think they are same issues, but different issues at the same time.
I think for the sake of football... You've got to go both are a red or both are a yellow. And that's my point. I think by going one's a red and one's a yellow. And look, you know, you'll get old knobhead, what's his name, going, end of the day, I've looked at both. They're completely the
same. What did Ref Watch actually say?
They're completely the same, but they're right to give a yellow and a red. Football's so bloody confusing.
No, that's why we love it, though. But like, you can't say the two things are exactly the same issue, but they're not.
Arsenal don't love it. Chelsea don't love it. Liverpool don't love it.
I want Arsenal or Chelsea. I just don't want Man City to win the league. So it's not anti-Arsenal agenda. I think most Arsenal fans would look at that and go, it doesn't help. And it's always strange in football that these incidents are always back-to-back. With me, they are the same incident, but they are different like categories of that.
Well, a lot of people, look, Robert McCormack and Bart have put super chats in and they're saying tossing further away and the ball's going away from the goal. To me, that is way too technical for football. Like, I look at the Matty Cash handball against Fulham, where the ball travels less than a metre and hits his hand.
That's a penalty.
But then I've seen four or five of them this season get given.
People are doing this all the time.
No,
my mate was
technical.
Doing this at the weekend. He goes, with the thingy one, he goes, oh, yeah, but I've seen six or seven of them. Well, no, what ones have you actually seen? Because people just
speak... Man City, Chelsea, exactly the same, hand out, hitting from a metre.
Different.
I say, I'll give it.
I think people talk in generalisations a lot. And also, we love football, right? Because it is so inconsistent.
You're in the Championship. Well, you're not, you're in League One, right? You don't have VAR.
Yeah, brilliant.
My wider point here is not to be an Arsenal fan or anti-Man City. I can do that. But my big point is... VAR, for the last 18 months, we have been saying and discussing as a community that it's not fit for purpose. Howard Webb goes there, dunking biscuits with Neville. Oh, pro PR. Jamie Carragher is deleting fucking tweets where he's not actually said anything wrong. I'm listening to TalkSport today and it's like, oh, can we just stop picking on referees? And I'm like, hold on a minute. What about bloody football fans? VAR is controversial. Whether we agree on what I've said about Saliba, whether we agree on the Man City goal, whether we agree on the Ipswich penalty, whether we agree on what happened at Southampton, which is probably the worst one of the weekend, it's controversial, it's inconsistent, it's not fit for purpose. So we can argue about semantics and, you know, what the issue is. But the bottom line is, another season is being derailed by inconsistency. And, you know, I look at that Liverpool-Chelsea toss-in and the Saliba one, I personally would not have sent either of them off. I don't think tossing should have been sent off. But it made me really look at the Saliba one and go, we're getting way too technical here. Robert McCormack's right. You're right. The ball's going a slightly different direction.
Yeah.
But this is football. It's not bloody cricket.
Yeah, but
the ball's going slightly to the right.
No,
so
but that's
we
where
won't
we're
give
at,
a red.
That's where we're at, though, aren't we? Like, there's so much money involved. Like, the VAR has been bought in to try and get everything 100% right, and Howard Webb's talking he's at about his 80% of his 20% of his like percentages, too many of them all going all over the place.
Simplify the game.
No, but we ain't going to get that. Like that's a simplistic thing to say, because we're so far down the rabbit hole of spending all this money and like the billions and millions of pounds that get spent on it, where they're trying to get this perfect thing in an imperfect game, and it's just never going to happen.
Football can be a harsh mistress.
And we've had a few of them in our time, haven't we?
Well, yeah. And also, you know, you look at the red card for Southampton. If anyone didn't see it, it's dancing around the edge of the goal line. Vardy's about to tap it in. Fraser gives him a little tug. Vardy's not happy about that, and it's not a goal.
No, but you're contradicting yourself there. Because,
Let me finish my point. Let me finish my point. My point is, as much as I don't like Anthony Taylor, and there's a lot to go at him for, technically, he gets that right. It's on the goal line.
Yes.
He does pull him, and it's a penalty. And also, because he's depriving a goal-scoring opportunity, unfortunately, it's a red card as well.
Right.
It's a horrible... It's really, really soft. But technically, it's right.
Yes.
What I'm saying about the weekend is,
I felt that about Saliba when I first saw it. And up until I saw the tossing one, I was like, there ain't no way that Bournemouth player's getting a shot on goal because Saliba will catch him. I know he will, but he has pulled him.
No, but you can't. I know he will, but based on what?
Well, I
saw someone on Twitter earlier. They brought up the EAFC Ultimate Team cards, going like his pace is 78. I'm like, what world are we living in?
But let me finish. My point is, I did think it was a red card because technically he is the last man and he has fouled him and he is going to run through onto goal and something's going to happen. So I'm comfortable with that. So therefore, just send Tosin off, because then, as a football fan, whether you're a noob, whether you're educated, you're just going to go, that's harsh on Tosin, but he is the last man fouling Jota. And I think they're overcomplicating football. Like, whether it's handball, red cards, every decision gets micromanaged. And we'll talk about the Man City one in a moment, where we all know similar situations. And we go, well, they didn't give that one, but they're giving that one. And then at the weekend, Saliba's is a red, but Tosin fouls the last man because the ball's gone slightly over there. It would have been harsh on Tosin, but they should have given a red, because we'd be sat here today going, look, at the end of the day, they've both fouled the last man who's running through.
No, but I disagree on that, because if we are, because the way VAR works and the way football has got and the way that we analyse it is, it goes down to these micro moments like that. So you do have to look at all those different things.
I think that's the problem, though.
No, but that is the problem. I think overall the problem is VAR, because ultimately we don't want to be coming here on a Monday morning to talk about refereeing decisions. No, I want to be talking about Southampton Leicester 3-2. I want to be talking about the title race. We don't want to be doing the first half.
But Will, it's had such a massive impact on the title race. The swing for Arsenal is literally 6 points.
But like,
3 points lost to Bournemouth, yeah, 3 points to Man City. If Man City don't get an equaliser, yeah, and that Saliba handball sending off doesn't happen, there's probably a no points. It's a 6 point swing in the title race.
VAR, and forget tossing, right? VAR in that regard has done the right thing. Referee's given a yellow card. They think they've made a clear and obvious mistake. He's gone over and they've given a red card. I think we can all agree on that in terms of VAR working.
I think you raise a good point here as well, because I think over the weekend, a lot of decisions on field, Man City was offside, they've overruled it. On field, it was a yellow card for Saliba, they've overruled it. On field, it was a penalty for Ipswich, they've overruled it. On field, it was a penalty for the second one on Curtis Jones, they've overruled it. Were they all clear and obvious? Maybe one or two of them were. Maybe one or two of them weren't. And again, it comes back to, I would rather not have had VAR this weekend. I really would. Because
that's true. Yeah, because
I think every decision... So if we'd not had VAR, Man City's goal would be offside. Saliba would still be on the pitch. Tosin would still be on the pitch.
Did Man City's one get flagged?
Yeah, it was flagged offside.
It was flagged.
I didn't realise that till afterwards. Ipswich would have got a penalty. So there's a lot of things that I think... That's what I was thinking about driving over here today, and I'd be interested to see what people think. When you think about it, if VAR didn't exist this weekend, I think a lot of the decisions I'd have been happier with. And
well, also,
I'm not saying they're all right,
but
I would have been happy with it, because I think VAR's got intervened on a lot of things that weren't clear and obvious. And as I said, I'd love to know. I remember this happening a couple of years ago. I think it was Andre Mariner, who I think he's retired now. I think there was a game between Leicester and Chelsea away from home, and Leicester did two really bad tackles against Chelsea, and he didn't give a yellow card. He didn't give a red card for either. And then the next day, I think he was the fourth official for VAR and Man United, and he sent Casemiro off on a VAR. And I was like, you've just done a game yesterday and not given red cards for the same thing. That's my frustration. I think it's too technical to say that Tosin and Saliba are completely different events. I think they're not. I think they're very similar. And I think when you've got very similar, you're going to end up frustrating football fans. I mean, it didn't have an impact on the Liverpool game. They still won. And I don't want to see... I don't want to see red cards.
And I also think as well, like, my whole point around the people going to the screen and the VAR thing and why we need to get rid of it is because, like, the Southampton penalty, which is like, you couldn't give him more than an excuse to give a penalty. He's holding on to his shirt for about 5 seconds. Like, it just doesn't even get looked at. So I don't understand what they're doing in that booth and why they can't consider that a penalty when, you know, the tallest man on the pitch has been having his shirt pulled for so long. Like, the problem is, like I said, it's an imperfect game, and they're trying to referee it perfectly. We are never going to have the correct decisions. And I even down in League One, I'd like to have goal line technology, but that'd be a real treat next season. But apart from that, and unless it's an everything is subjective, isn't it? Like, all those decisions are subjective still. And VAR is trying to make out that they're not, and we're just never going to get the answer to it.
I mean, Ryan says there, if VAR didn't exist, all that would happen is one wrong decision and Goldbridge would be calling for VAR. No, mate, you actually make a good point that's a bad point. That's why I'd switch VAR off. VAR being switched off wouldn't stop controversy, but we'd have to live with it. That's my point. I think more and more, it's very clear that VAR doesn't solve the problem of what we had before. 100% we'd be sat here this morning with no VAR going, was it a penalty for Ipswich, really? Was it a red card for Saliba, really? Should he have got a red card instead of a yellow because the on-field was a yellow? We'd still argue about it, but there would not be... VAR is meant to be the thing that takes away the argument.
Yeah, exactly.
And it actually makes the argument even bigger. So
you
make a good point.
We're coming in on a Monday going like, I disagree with the VAR decision rather than the actual decision. And Carl says here, what about Kudos? He lost it. Happens. Basically, Kudos lost his head, didn't he? And he got red carded because of VAR. But that's the thing. It's like one wrong doesn't make a right, or one right doesn't make a wrong, in terms of, yes, VAR is getting some things right, but also we've got a list of things that it's not got right or not even looked at. So they've brought this thing in to be the eradicator of decisions in football and be the overall voice of it. And it's just not working.
And I think it's so frustrating because you wake up on a Monday morning or you watch these games on a Sunday and the controversy rages. But, you know, you turn on the radio, you turn on the TV, you've got pundits who are part of that world, you know, tweeting and then delete it. I mean, if you're on social media, don't fucking delete your tweets about something about Howard Webb being involved. I mean,
I deleted the tweet of the weekend.
I don't think Howard Webb was involved, but you know what? It's almost like, and I know it happens, as soon as Carragher's put that tweet out, somebody said to him, or something's kicked into his head, oh, I don't want to do this. And it's like, we know that the mainstream protects the PGMOL because they've got a relationship with them. It's very, very obvious. And Monday morning comes, and what annoys me about it is that this impacts lives, impacts mental health, it impacts what football is. Football is so important to so many people. And the media try and treat it like it's the World Wrestling Entertainment. Like, oh, you know, it doesn't really matter that Wolves have been screwed over. It doesn't really matter that Arsenal's title race is over for another year. Let's respect referees. It's only a game. Get him on the Gary Lineker podcast now, and this time he can dunk a bourbon. It's like the serious nature of football almost gets undermined by the media, who suddenly just run to the rescue of an organisation that's not fit for purpose.
If I had
Howard Webb here, we'd be having this chat. I'd be going, Howard, it's not fit for purpose, and it's not been fit for purpose for 18 months. It's riddled with incompetency. You know, against Southampton and Leicester, you've given a referee for pulling off Vardy, but AU's pulling the other Southampton player for a lot longer.
Yeah.
And he's Anthony Taylor's watching, and I've seen the footage of the Southampton player getting tugged by AU. And he's doing it for a long time, and Anthony Taylor's watching it like the camera, and you're going, how have you not seen that? And secondly, how has VAR not seen it? I mean, that is incredible. I mean, Southampton, fair play to Leicester, Southampton contributed to their own downfall the same way as Ipswich, but I do feel bad for Ipswich and Southampton, because I'm like, there's some shocking decisions there that won't get the focus of Arsenal, and we're going to talk about Man City Wolves in a moment, but they're shocking decisions, and VAR's not helping the game.
Yeah, but also, my big pet peeve with you is when you say the media, because there are people breaking it down in different ways. Like, the media is like this big thing that's not one thing at the moment. I think there's such a sweeping generalisation of, like, even with, I think...
I'm talking about the heavy hitters.
Yeah, I know, yeah. But even, you know, I think Micah broke it down quite well on Sky, saying about, you know, and with what Ben Foster said as well.
Let's move on to this, because there's a lot of people talking about this. People are saying, you know, it's a goal. The thing that frustrated me, and I want to get your thoughts on it, because obviously I was speaking about it yesterday. I was talking to producer Niall about this just before we went live. So we're going to talk about the Wolves-Man City thing, which is really the biggest one of the weekend. Absolutely. Really, because it happens right with the last moment of the game. Obviously, from a footballing point of view, you can't have this in your mind, but Man City don't need help. Like, they're everybody's favourite to win the league, and they don't need help. And we saw it last season. It should have been a penalty at Anfield. They should have lost that game. There were so many decisions that went Man City's way last year, factually. And already this season, there's been a few, again, that have gone their way. And Gary O'Neill's spoken about that. But what was your thoughts on that? What frustrates me about this is the people who are saying it's clearly a goal, because that is not true. You can think it's a goal. You can justify it being a goal, but it's a controversial call. You can't say it's not controversial. No, yeah, it is controversial.
So I think fundamentally is... So the goal gets flagged for offside, right? I don't think you can say, if VAR's got this new sort of mandate about getting involved when it's clear and obvious, I don't think you can then say, go to the screen, it's clear and obviously not offside. Like, that's my final point on it. I've sort of been going back and forth on it. I think you can debate the sort of subtleties of, was Bernardo Silva, you know, I think Ben summed it up perfectly from a keeper's position of, like, not being set, but then me and Niall were speaking about the keepers get too much protection. But I think fundamentally, it's not clear and obvious to go to the screen and go, 100%, you've got that wrong, cancel the goal.
I didn't even realise this. It's a great point. I thought what had happened, and it was only about an hour afterwards that I was doing the Liverpool-Chelsea game, and someone said, no, this is what actually happened. So I thought what happened is goal scored, given, Man City celebrate for quite a long time. Then I heard the Wolves crowd sort of go, and it was like potential offside check. So I thought they'd given it on the pitch and VAR had gone, have a look at it. And then Kavanagh, the ref, who I do not rate, goes over to the thing and goes, no, I'm happy with it. I mean, look, one thing I would add to that, I don't know whether you sent it me this morning, but I quote tweeted it on Twitter. In the build-up to that goal, there is the most blatant foul on a Wolves player you will ever see. Like, a Man City, Wolves are on the attack, Man City player pushes him in the back and tackles him and the referee says play on. But, you know, again, just shit officiating that we see all the time. On the actual thing itself, I think your point's a good point, and I probably wouldn't have made it. The clear and obvious thing is just so strange. I think last year, they were going the other way. Unless it was clear and obvious, they'd you know, if you saw a soft penalty, it would stay a penalty if they'd given it on the pitch because they'd go, want to back the referee.
Yeah.
Whereas I think if you look at this weekend, Ipswich's penalty... He's given it on the pitch. That's not a clear and obvious not. It's a bit soft, but it's not clear and obvious not. I thought the Liverpool penalty... the second one that got overruled, I don't think that's clear and obviously wrong either. I know Sanchez gets the ball, but he does clatter the player on the, you know...
That's when it's turning into micromanagement, which, like, VAR shouldn't be for me. Like, and that's what I thought we were getting to this year. So I think with that one, with Bernardo Silva, I think we could still debate that to the cows come home. And I know you're doing that in the chat as well, but, like... I just don't think that's where VAR should be getting involved.
Well, I've looked at it and we were talking about it before. So this is what I was saying to Will before. The reason I don't think it's a goal, but actually I think overarchingly the best one is what you've just said. That is not clear and obvious for VAR to go, that's 100% a goal. As I say, that is controversial. You might have 50-50, you might have 70% say it's not a goal because they hate City, but I think you'd have at least 50-50 each way.
Yeah.
So why is VAR saying clear and obviously that that was a mistake? Because I don't think it was. I think Wolves have been completely robbed there. But when I look at it, my issue with it is that last season, Wolves scored a late winner against West Ham that got overruled and they stood by it because... somebody was in the line of the goalkeeper. But as the cross comes in, the Wolves player heads it into the top corner and the goalkeeper of West Ham is stood central. The ball doesn't go anywhere near that goalkeeper. So how can they be in the line? He's never saving it. It was a disgusting decision. And then this always happens in the Premier League. They won't give a red card one day, then they will. And it has a really strange way of these things hitting the same team. And it's happened with Wolves. They didn't get the goal last year and then they do. But I freeze framed it this morning because I wanted to just be sure about this if I was going to change my mind. The rule is that if you're in the line of the sight of the goalkeeper, then you're obstructing the goalkeeper. But again, that's just too basic for me. So I watched it and you can't be offside from a corner. Bernardo Silva, a lot of people saying Arsenal do this all the time. Irrelevant conversation, right? Arsenal barge goalkeepers all the time. It's irrelevant because we're not saying it's a foul. We're saying it's obstruction. We're saying it's, you know, getting in the way of the goalkeeper. So as that cross comes in, you could argue that VAR, again, is looking at stuff in slow-mo like it does with a red card.
Yeah.
You can't look at it in slow-mo. So I was looking at it in slow-mo. And as the ball cross comes in, as it hits the edge of the six-yard box, it's about 5 metres away from John Stones. As it hits the six-yard box in slow-mo, stand up with me.
Who am I?
I'll be the goalkeeper. I'll be Bernardo Silva, right? So as it hits the six-yard box, you're just pushing me away, yeah? As it hits John Stones' head... No, you're not pushing me now. So you push me on there. 0.25 of a second later, it's hitting John Stones' head. Bernardo Silva's still doing this. still actually moving.
Yeah, he's probably that small as well.
So as a goalkeeper, right, the ball's just about to hit John Stones' head. You're still pushing Bernardo Silva. It hits John Stones' head and Bernardo Silva's still moving down in front of you. I mean, if that's not interfering with a goalkeeper, look, a goalkeeper, if you've got a free go at that header, it's straight at you, you palm it over. A goalkeeper who's had to push somebody out who's moving in front of you, well, you're sort of like, you're all over the place. He is clearly impeded. And I would say, you know what? You can sit down now. I would say, what have VAR actually done with this by giving this goal? Because you know what I would say now?
You're done.
I would say,
can't believe
why
done.
Not next time there's a free kick on the edge of the box, why would you not go and stand in front of that goalkeeper and duck?
And then
you can't because you're not you're offside there. You can't be offside from a corner.
Do you know why one of the rules was initially brought into place was? Birmingham City.
Right.
We used to have Seb Larson, prolific free kick taker. When we were in the Premier League, Radhi Jaidi used to stand behind the wall and I'm not even joking, he used to start dancing in front of the line of the keeper and he'd distract him and we scored a few free kicks.
I mean, someone in the chats just here said Bernardo Silva was 2 metres away from him when John Stones headed the ball. So
COVID.
He's got a mask on. Go and watch it back. I've watched it back. I know what I'm talking about. As that ball, just before it hits John Stones' head, Bernardo Silva is being pushed by... This is in 0.2 seconds.
Well, I do think Niall's got a good point in terms of keepers get too much... If me and you are defending across, I'm defending. Like, me and you were going to be touching a bit of a... But, like, goalies, like, get so much protection where it's like, oh, he needs to be set, it needs to be that. It's like, why? Like, unless he's like pulling his arm or like doing that, which he's not, like, yeah, I'm fully lined up in the VAR stuff. But keepers, like, Bernardo doesn't actually do that much to him. And this idea of like, oh, he has to be set, he has to be that. Well, like, what's that mean? Like, I know what it means, but like, why do they get so much protection?
I haven't got a problem with it, Will, if there is a Wolves defender on the line and Bernardo Silva's in an onside position.
Yeah, no.
It doesn't do anything wrong for me. He gives him a bit of a barge, he ducks. But because he's actually stood in an offside position and Wolves have played the offside, he becomes active.
And also,
he is active and he is moving in front of... I'll tell you what, right? If we go out into the garden now and I say to Noel, I'm going to throw the ball at your head, Will's right behind you, but just before I throw it, duck, let's see what Will's reaction is. You're going to be like, what's Noel doing? Boof.
Yeah.
You know,
I'd read that, though. I'd get away.
I genuinely do not care if people think it's a goal, but do not tell me 100% that is a goal, because we've seen goals disallowed for it and he definitely, definitely puts off Sarr. So it's controversial. And yet again, Man City benefit from it. And I would say the big losers from VAR this weekend, yet again, is Arsenal. They've had a red card that probably was deserved, but you could feel bad about it. And then they watch Man City yet again get a favour. They get a favour.
No, but you have to watch it in real time, that one, because people are going, here's the freeze frame of Stones heading the ball. But like the whole corner, as soon as the corner taken for me, like I know it, like you said, it's not offside because it's an outswinger, but like that's when it starts for me, because if we are talking about keepers being set and interfered with like that, as soon as that corner comes in, that's when it's happening.
The best thing is, I think if Bernardo Silva's there, I wouldn't put money on it. Sarr saves it anyway. Because it's straight at him, and his reactions would have to be really quick. But he's never going to react to that when he's just had to push a player away.
To be fair, it was nice to see... it was quite good to see the way Gary O'Neill came out fighting, because he was like almost... he was fighting, wasn't he, but doing it in a way where he knows he's not going to get a fine. And I was sat there on a Sunday, I was texting one of the lads who's a Wolves fan, I was like, I never thought I'd be sat here on a Sunday feeling sorry for Wolves, but with the run they've had and the last minute defeats and the manner that's happened, I think fundamentally if that goal's been flagged for offside,
I don't think anyone would be moaning about it.
No, I don't think it's clear and obvious to be the other way. So
I genuinely thought they'd rule it out, and I didn't think there'd be any controversy with it, and I think by giving it, I think it's created a lot of controversy. And I think Gary O'Neill, I'm right in saying, was talking about the favouritism that certain clubs seem to get unconsciously or whatever.
Well, I think there would be that. I was thinking about it this morning. I think there would be that unconscious bot. Like, if you were a referee and you are doing that game, and I'm definitely not saying this is right, and you could, you know, you've lived through the Fergie era where you can imagine the pressure that was being applied by him.
But you know what? I know we used to get preferential treatment.
No, but that's what I mean.
That's why I know Man City. You know, you get all these knobheads who are Man City fans going, oh, shut up, cry me a river, we're not getting preferential treatment. But I know as a Man United fan, we got preferential treatment. And Liverpool fans who are old enough will know in the late 80s, you got preferential treatment. Yes, we're bitter and twisted about it, but I know you're getting preferential treatment because I know we got it. And that's where, because they only existed since 2008, they think they're the first club in the world to have scrutiny on decisions that they keep getting. Man United, we didn't have a penalty conceded at Old Trafford for about 100 years. I mean, it wasn't that long, but we definitely used to get preferential treatment. They're doing exactly what we used to do.
No, but that's why I think you know what I was about to say, and I'll stop myself, was about, you know, your Chiellinis in Italy. But yeah. I think talking about refereeing decisions in Italy and the scandals that have gone over there probably wouldn't do myself any favours.
Look, Pep says that Arsenal, I mean, how ridiculous does that sound? Arsenal are masters of the dark arts. Man City are masters of the dark arts.
And off the pitch.
They crowd the referee all the time. They never get booked for it. They get lots of these decisions. And I think a lot of people are wide awake to the fact now that most of the time, Man City, you look at that Everton handball last season at Goodison Park. They just swarm the referee. They get in his ear. Carl, what's going on? What's going on? It's very clever. Pep knows exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
And they'll keep getting away with it. But the real frustration is Man City will win the league. I've said that all along. They don't need help. And if you look at last season, if you take away that point at Anfield that they shouldn't got, and you give that point to Arsenal that they should have got at Newcastle, they both got the same amount of points. At the end of the season, this stacks up. And at the other end, it could stack up for Wolves as well. You never know. They might go down by a point. So it has an impact. Look, for me, Arsenal are out of the title race. No, they are.
What
is it, Niles? 6 points off Liverpool?
Oh, he's got... Didn't like it. Got to look at another screen. You don't like
how many,
doing
that. But Man City, chat, tell us. You know, there's a question for you. I clip me up on this because the VAR stuff will you know, probably bore people. But I think let's have a grown-up conversation. I said from the start Man City will win the league, and I think Fulham...
Yeah, Liverpool on 12, Arsenal on
7. No.
20, sorry.
Fuck it now.
Liverpool on 21, Arsenal on 17.
How'd you get that? 12 and 7. All right, so 21 and 17, so 4 points. No, I think Liverpool are on 22. They're definitely on 21. Are Man City on 20? So the 3 points behind Man City and the 4 points behind Liverpool. Yeah, you are right. Okay, we're not quite there yet.
Relax.
But I'll take...
If Arsenal beat Liverpool next weekend, we're going to be coming here on Monday morning saying Arsenal title challenges.
You know what? They're very close to being out of it. And I don't do, you know, there's no point coming on here and going, oh, it's very obvious. I would say I'm very confident that Arsenal are out of title race.
Well,
But I said to you, didn't I? I said Ipswich, Southampton and Leicester are going down. I'm never changing that. And I said that in May. And I said that Man City would win the league in May. And I'm going to say now, I think too much has gone wrong for Arsenal already. I think they're damaged goods.
I think there's... Manchester City at the moment beat the worst team in the league yesterday 2-1. Like, I think if you isolate
that... But
this
is where they've got to drop points.
No, but...
They've got Southampton at home next week.
Yeah, all right, yeah. I tell you what, if Russell Martin turns up there and tries to play his possession-based football to them, I am seriously going
to... You need to quadruple captain Haaland for that game.
Yeah. Mark, if it's all right for you, I'd like to hear from our half-time sponsors and get rid of any Southampton player if you have them. But no, I just think with... I can't remember the point now, but with Liverpool, with Arsenal's game coming up, sorry, like Saliba's out now and he is out for Liverpool, Newcastle and Chelsea.
They're gone.
I don't think they're gone like that. I mean, that's
it's
too
predictive,
simplistic.
But they're gone. I mean, who's with me on that? Look, I didn't want Saliba to get sent off because I want Arsenal to stay in the title race, because out of Arsenal, Liverpool and Man City, I don't really like Arsenal, but I'd want them to win it. As a Man United fan, I don't want to watch another Man City-Liverpool title race.
No, we're agreed on that.
And I want Arsenal to be in it, but I look at it and I go, I think they're gone already. I think they've had too many bad results. That Brighton game obviously was because Declan Rice got sent off. The Man City game, they would have won that. Trossard got sent off. They've had the Bournemouth game, and I think they dropped points somewhere else, didn't they?
Well, no, but even like against Southampton when it was, they won 2-1. But
one game banned for Saliba, apparently.
One game.
Why is that then? He got a straight red.
I don't know. I'll check that in a minute. But in terms of Arsenal, what we just feel like, even though we want them to win the league, that they've just had a bit of this soft underbelly. Like we could get into the intricacies of the
you've said it to
the,
be fair.
The Declan Rice one, and I just always feel that they're like they should be at this stage now where they've had Arteta for how long, and you know they've been title contenders last year where they've gone head for head and Arteta all the way down to the final game of the season. Like they should have learnt so much more. Like I'm not saying Saliba needs to do better there, but like how many they've won 3 red cards already for this season, 2 red cards for like big players for big games.
Yeah.
And it's just if they are the masters
3-8's not good, is it?
No, if they are the masters of the dark arts, according to Pep, well, they need to have it a bit changed over really, because they're costing themselves points. And I was watching the coverage. Where do you stand on this about like they should have made more of a game of it against Bournemouth? Like they should still be winning against Bournemouth with 10 men.
Well, they should have done. Martinelli missed an absolute sitter at 0-0.
Yeah.
I think was it Merino put one wide as well,
yeah.
Or he got deflected wide. That's what I mean. Look, I would say to Arsenal fans, I want you in the title race, but I look at Brighton, you'd have beaten them if Declan Rice doesn't get sent off. I look at Man City, you'd have beaten them if Trossard didn't get sent off. And I look at Bournemouth, I think you'd have beaten them when they were 11 men and you get sent off after half an hour. So there's what? 2, 4, 7 points.
Yeah.
Of your own accord. Look, controversy again around all of those red cards, but you've dropped 7 points because 3 players have been sent off in 8 games. You know it. You know it. It's not that long ago in May where you sat there going, you can't drop these points if you want to take Man City out.
Well,
they've dropped too many points.
Yeah. So and also,
already.
And also, they're in a position now where like they have got a squad to be contending with. Like last year, they got no injuries, really. I know Timber was out, but comparatively to everybody else. So now that they are, you know, Saka was out. Obviously, Saliba's out now. Like
Spurs are finishing above Arsenal.
You believe that?
No.
No, okay. I was going to have a little heart attack.
Go on, carry on.
No, but I just think that they're in a position now where they're not Man City, but they should definitely be at the stage where like where they have problems, they have the squad to deal with it, and I just feel like they're not at that stage yet.
I don't know whether it's bad luck or it's just indiscipline, but two of those red cards are kicking the ball away, which I think's harsh because not everyone's getting a yellow card for that, let's be honest. And then Saliba one is because Trossard knocks it back and he gets tangled up. If even two of those red cards don't happen, they'd have another 3 or 4 points. So, but look, Arsenal, I think you're out of the title race simply because your only hope of being in the title race is if Man City don't do what they normally do. You've already dropped too many points. If Man City do what we know they're going to do every year and hit 90-something points, you've already dropped too many. Arsenal are still in the title race if Man City drop more points, but it's not looking good at the moment. They should have dropped points against Fulham and they won. And they should have dropped points against Wolves and they won. And that's what, you know, Man City don't need help from Fulham and Wolves.
But yeah, Man City have got that. They've got like November, December time when they've got to play Liverpool. I think they've got to play you've got to play you in the derby. They've got to play Spurs. I think they've got Villa in there as well. I think that's when, well, like, because you look at it next weekend, it's Liverpool, Arsenal, and then Man City are at home 3 o'clock to Southampton. You're like, but just look at the wider picture. I don't think it's done. Like they're not beating teams the way that they normally do. I just think we've got a little bit of positivity in there to keep the title race going. And Liverpool are the main contenders now then, according to you.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about Liverpool in a minute, but I've just had a super chat here from Hallie Yusho, who says, Mark, you should stop being selective towards Arsenal. You keep ignoring the same stuff did by Arsenal players. No, we've acknowledged this before. It's basically a moronic view to compare what Bernardo Silva did to what Arsenal do, because I'm not saying Bernardo Silva fouls the keeper. I'm saying he obstructs the goalkeeper and puts him off in an offside position. Arsenal foul or don't foul goalkeepers from onside positions. That whole goal yesterday is about whether he obstructs the goalkeeper in an offside position or not, which last season we saw Man United, Liverpool and Wolves all have goals ruled out, and the on-field linesman said it wasn't a goal. And VAR decided it was clear and obviously a goal, which I think is ridiculous. Let's talk about Liverpool-Chelsea. Oh,
yeah.
No, you got more?
I was just going to do the super chat. So Bart got involved. He said, Arsenal fan, I got to disagree with Mark. The ball in the Liverpool game is more on the side of the pitch. The ball in the Arsenal game is more central. Robert McCormack, one we spoke about. Kian, thanks for your donation. So do you think refs should keep things technical or situational, because both raise problems? Someone messed this, just says, who got tugged off? That's a great point, and one should ask every weekend. Nathan says, Bloody hell, is that, that's a B-50 bomber coming over the top, that is. Yeah. Nathan says, if you look at the Chelsea one, the defender was 2 feet, 5 feet. I think we're getting into intricacies. What is that?
It's bloody massive.
Is that a B? That could be a bomber.
Carry on.
Tom Bowman says VAR was brought in to change obvious errors, but feel compelled to try and nitpick and change the decision that they can't power. Hi, both. I'm a Liverpool fan. Unfortunately, on the City one, I think the City player interfered before he's onside. Mason Matthew. Hi, guys. We'd love to get your thoughts on tossing. We've done that. Nathan, if you look at the Chelsea one, and we're up to date. Thank you for that. What was it?
I wanted to. I couldn't see it. Cloud over cloud or that way. But I want to talk about Chelsea-Liverpool. I thought... Look, Chelsea went to Anfield with more possession.
Yeah.
But Liverpool, Arne Slot, played a very clever game and ended up counter-attacking at home, which I think is quite a clever thing against Chelsea, who played quite a high line. I thought the game yesterday between Chelsea and Liverpool really was like comparing Mo Salah and Cole Palmer. Cole Palmer is the up-and-coming talent who doesn't have the experience, and Mo Salah is the guy with the crown who may well be coming towards the end, but has got the know-how. And I think Liverpool had the know-how against Chelsea yesterday. And I think it was a massive 3 points for Liverpool. But I think Chelsea can come away with that with from where we've been talking about Chelsea for the last year.
Yeah.
I know it's disappointing to lose, but a 2-1 loss at Anfield, I think they can take a lot away from that.
Yeah, and I from a Liverpool perspective, I just think it goes to show how pragmatic Arne Slot is of, like, you know, even being at home and sort of being counter-attacking football to what Chelsea are doing and making a system to be what they've done. And he did it so well and spoke about it so eloquently when he did it at Old Trafford. I think he's just been really exciting, hasn't he? Like, he's, apart from the Forest game, which we've said has it positives as well, like, he is getting everything right. Like, bringing Curtis Jones into the fold, obviously all being because of an illness to Alexis McAllister. But, like, he sorted out Cole Palmer, didn't he? And then to have that composure for the goal, I just think that's why they'll be the title contenders, because they feel more pragmatic and robust than Arsenal at the moment.
They didn't panic as well. I mean, Luis Diaz obviously had played in South America. McAllister had played in South America. He leaves them out, rotates. That's what it's all about. Nathan Allen, we missed his super chat. He says, if you look at the Chelsea one and see the defender, the second one, he's 5 feet behind him and he ain't catching Jota. So that's a clear red. I agree with that. I do, just on the theme of inexplicable VAR and why I just think it's not fit for purpose. It didn't really get any high. I mean, this is the problem, isn't it? This happened. I despair about this with Manchester United a lot, and I think everybody will relate to this. How many times do you watch a game on the TV and you see an incident that you want to see again, and they don't highlight it, and then they don't highlight it at halftime? The Sancho one with Trent Alexander-Arnold, I just wanted to see it again. I didn't know whether it was a penalty or not. I just wanted to see it again, and the coverage of it was absolutely crap. When you watch it, I don't know why VAR isn't having a look. I think it didn't feel like a penalty, but when you watch it, Trent stamps down on his ankle accidentally, but doesn't get the ball. It's like one of those. Is it a clear and obvious error? Well, it probably is, but he didn't give it on the pitch. So I think Chelsea have a case there. But as I said, I also think it wasn't clear and obvious to overrule the Curtis Jones one just because Sanchez got the ball. But I do think Chelsea, look, home at Anfield, Liverpool got the win. Chelsea obviously lost, but I think Chelsea can take a lot from that. I think they've got Newcastle next week and their progress is it has been very good. And I just think a little bit of naivety from Colwill and Tosin compared to a very, you know, 3 goals in 8 games is all Liverpool have conceded.
Well, breaking news actually on BBC that Virgil van Dijk's in talks about a new Liverpool deal. Which would be, I mean, out of the three we spoke the other week, I think he was in the middle of the two, but to have the captain, the centre-back, the leader, potentially in a new deal.
Well, it doesn't look like he's dropping off, and he's so influential, isn't he?
Yeah, 33-year-old. Forgot he's that old.
Yeah, I think you'd play a bit older these days, I think you'd get another couple of years out of Van Dijk.
Yeah, I think the frustrating thing about the whole weekend, because of VAR, is like we've spent, and rightly so, spent nearly 45 minutes talking about decisions, VAR, what's next. And ultimately, I just feel like it's not going to change. But then you've got a performance that Curtis Jones put in, where really, like, surely with the new youth drive, Thomas Tuchel coming in, like, he's a person that should be considered for England up and coming. Like, the way he's reacted to Arne Slot coming in, we saw those comments during the summer where he was sort of like, I'm not having a go at Klopp, but I've got a new bit of fresh license under this new manager. I just think it's really exciting to see.
Make sure you subscribe, everybody who's watching, bottom right hand corner, and smash us a like. We are live every Monday at 12:30 and every Friday for a preview. Yeah, good win for Liverpool. I'm trying to think just very quickly. And we're going to talk about Man United, obviously, but it was a mid-table game. I can't hype it up beyond that. But
yeah,
Villa, I thought, probably went... Villa and Spurs probably went under the radar a bit, but two really good wins for them.
I just wanted to do something, because Mo Salah's catching up Thierry Henry. And we are the big fans of Mo Salah on this podcast, aren't we? About him being underrated. So he's currently ninth on the all-time Premier League goal scorers. He's only 13 behind Thierry Henry now.
Mm.
I just wanted to do a quick thing with you. Is Mo Salah a better player than on these lists, okay?
Okay.
Above him is Jermaine Defoe.
Yeah, Salah's better than Defoe, piece of piss.
Robbie Fowler?
Yeah.
Thierry Henry?
No.
Frank Lampard?
Yeah.
Sergio Aguero?
Yeah.
Andrew Cole?
Yeah.
Wayne Rooney?
No.
Harry Kane?
Yeah.
And Alan Shearer?
Yeah.
Thank you for playing. Is Mo Salah better than?
So the only player he's not better than is Thierry Henry and Wayne Rooney.
Yeah.
I think that's about right.
Okay. We'll let you decide in the comments. No,
and realistically, Thierry Henry would have more goals. Well, he has got more goals than Salah, but he would have more goals, but he left, didn't he?
He left, yeah. He went to Barcelona, which isn't a bad move, is it?
Yeah. Villa thought a fantastic result against Fulham. Let's not forget it was 1-1. Martinez made a very good penalty save. That could have been key.
Shit penalty, though. It
was a shit penalty.
Good goal from it. You see the first Fulham goal? Literally long ball, Jimenez has gone twat in the corner. That, for me, that's football. I absolutely love that.
I thought it was a good game. I think Fulham are a really good Premier League side, and that's why it's a very good result for Aston Villa.
Tough place
obviously
to go,
a red card in that game. Yeah, technically I think it is a red card.
I thought it was because the referee comes over and he goes, oh, he's pushed him in the back. When he hasn't pushed him in the back, he's got an arm on him. I thought that was a little bit harsh.
Inconsistent, isn't it?
And then Philogene.
Philogene. He gets a yellow card and then he gets sent off for the slightest push in a Fulham player. And we've already been told this season that the second yellow card is going to get a little bit more leeway, i.e. you won't get a soft second yellow.
Mm.
And then he goes and gives him a soft second yellow. And this is what I mean about the officiating in this country. It is absolutely flawed. As I said, the Wolves thing was controversial yesterday, but there was literally a foul just before the corner on a Wolves player. And I just don't know what these referees are doing, Will. I don't know.
To be fair, like Sunday, like it felt too, like match of the day, I know you don't like watching it, but like you turn on and then you go down the bottom and now I've been...
You're not going to put Man United Brentford in the bottom?
No. Would you want to talk about Man United first?
Yeah.
Well, how was your day? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, really good. First time at Old Trafford after COVID.
Get clicked up.
After COVID.
Yeah.
Last time I went was... Solskjaer.
Solskjaer was playing.
No, I can't remember that. I don't know. I think it was 3-2. Solskjaer against Palace, maybe, or Southampton. Might have been Southampton. So, yeah, it was good to... And obviously, it was Seb's first game. I was 9 when I went to my first Man United game, so he's beat me by 2 years.
And look, so Seb, like, I went to his first game at Solihull Moors, which was at Wembley in hospitality. He's gone to Manchester United. I mean, we need to take him down Stourbridge Town or something, getting him in away and there with the Bovril.
But I mean, he went to Wembley and it was obviously the National League final, so there was 25,000-30,000 in there.
Yeah, yeah.
So it felt quite empty. But when we were at Old Trafford, we were there like an hour or so before, and he wanted to go and sit in the empty stadium, and I was like, no, we're going in 10 minutes before, because I wanted his first step out into Old Trafford to be the packed.
You need to
crowd.
Do that video that they do when they're filming, and he's like that, and he's like, wow.
But no, he really enjoyed it. Obviously, he always gets involved, and. But I was panicking at half time, I've got to say. Look, I was shouting at the referee after that goal.
So good to do that when you get... I think that's like one bit of escapism at football where you can just fucking absolutely go at officials.
Well, I'd had a couple of drinks before and...
get it going.
When the goal goes in, obviously it's because De Ligt had to go off because of the head injury. I said to... The lad sat next to me, I said, they'll score from this. They scored from it. Ruud van Nistelrooy is getting booked. So the referee comes over to the touchline where we are. And I thought I was back in my streaming room. I just stood up and went, you're a fucking disgrace, ref. You're a fucking disgrace. And then sat down.
That's nice though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Get it out.
Yeah, get it.
But it's proper cliche, but like, and it was right that it was off, but like, I really did like the Ligt's reaction.
Yeah.
Like, it just felt like really like, you should be that angry. It shouldn't mean that much. And like, he probably feels he would have been the one to clear the ball as well, wouldn't he? Like, I really did like that for real cliche reasons.
You know what? I wouldn't even, as much as we've spent all this show moaning about VAR, And I don't like that rule because it's literally the last kick of the half. You've took him off for blood, whatever, and they scored because of it. It just doesn't feel right. But people will say, well, technically he's got it right. But I don't want to moan about it because from the second half, United did something I haven't seen them do in ages, which was actually start the second half with tempo and anger.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were brilliant.
Like a sense they've been,
the cross from Rashford, the finish by Garnacho, they had a really good tempo, which they just didn't have in the first half. And Brentford didn't really do much throughout the whole game. And
finish from Hoyland.
Yeah.
Did you give it a Rasmus in the game?
Oh, I did.
Rasmus.
Yeah, I think I was the only one. Yeah. Trying to get it
Sit
going.
Down, please,
I'm trying to get everyone going, Rasmus, Rasmus. But it was, look, for me, obviously, Seb's first game, I wanted them to win. But from a Man United point of view, I'd have took any win in that game. And actually, it was
It was crazy.
It was constructive, but we might be back here next week after West Ham going, here we are again. I'm not under any illusions.
Yeah, it should beat West Ham where they're at. And also, it was mad. And I was probably doing it a little bit in my head that Brentford were almost going in as favourites going into that game because of Manchester United out, the amount we'd spoken about Thomas Frank. But yeah, to get that win, that feels like a good, solid 3 points on the board.
And I think that's everybody, isn't it, from the Prem?
No.
Brighton's winning Newcastle. Yeah. I've got to be honest. Apologies to Brighton. We mentioned on Friday slip-ups, actually. I should have mentioned that at the start. Slip-ups was what we called the show on Friday for the preview because there was a lot of games where we were sort of like, yeah, we're going to get at least two slip-ups. You've got Newcastle, Brighton, Man United, Brentford, Bournemouth, Arsenal, Spurs at home to West Ham, Chelsea, Liverpool, Wolves, Man City, Ipswich, Everton. And I think that Brighton definitely a slip up for Newcastle.
There's something about Danny Welbeck where, like, it's past the wine phase now with him getting better with age. He's like the goal he took at the weekend, strong, shugged off the defender. I think Newcastle just not taking the chances. Like, Gordon missed the sitter, Isak missed the sitter. I think their XG was over two.
I worry about Newcastle, you know.
Yeah, well,
I don't support them. But what I mean is, I almost did a video on this channel about them last week that the Newcastle project is not working because I think we all assumed. Like the first 18 months was great. They were relegated. They were in the relegation zone. Eddie Howe does really great. First full season, they get into the Champions League. You know they're the richest club in the world with the Saudi money. And I said Newcastle will be competing with Man City by now. And here we are 18 months on since they had that top four finish. And obviously they didn't get it last year. And I don't think they're going to get it this year. They just can't get the money in. So the Newcastle project, which we all predicted was going to be like Man City, it ain't going to happen. They can't get the money in. The January transfer window won't save them. The summer transfer window won't save them. They can't get the money in. And the people like Anthony Gordon were looking to leave, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
So Newcastle is not, the project's not working. And I don't know what Newcastle fans think about it, but you're not going to get top four this year. You didn't get it last year. And technically, you're falling off from where you were 2 years ago. It's very competitive. And at the moment, Villa, Chelsea, Brighton are better than Newcastle.
Yeah, and I mean, they have spent money as well, haven't they? Like, you look at the team, apart from, like, Jacob Murphy, who's coming back into form thanks to Eddie Howe, but, like, Isak, a lot of money spent. Gordon, a lot of money spent. Joe Linton was a lot of money spent under the old ownership. Bruno Guimaraes, Tognali. And then you look at the back two. I know Botman's out and you would be starting, but to have a back four of Lewis Hall, Dan Byrne, Fabian Schär, Livramento, like, is going to be a very good player, but I mean, the back four just worries me every week with them.
They can't. I mean, the injuries was a problem last year, as it was for Chelsea, Man United and Brighton.
If you want to be up there, you have got to have the squad, haven't you?
But they're not in Europe. And they're really missing Botman and Isak. And that's the thing. For a club that's the richest club in the Premier League, they shouldn't be in a position where you go, well, if they had Botman and Isak, they'd be fine.
Isak played at the weekend.
Well, is it? Well,
he missed,
okay, yeah,
he missed
okay. Okay, but you know what I mean. Like, he does get injured. They don't. They can't get the problem with Newcastle is they can't get the money in.
Yeah, yeah.
The success we thought they were going to have is dependent on getting the money in. They can't get the money in, so that's the problem.
And also, like, there's rumblings in the Newcastle fraternity. My mates are Villa fans. They've got a rivalry with my Newcastle mate. But at the weekend had quite a bit of engagement. This tweet. I think the most upsetting thing. The upsetting thing is the giddy excitement of watching Eddie Howe's Newcastle is totally gone. We are so boring to watch nowadays. Every game is just a carbon copy. Anyone who argues that we haven't regressed is beyond delusional now. It's clear to see.
Should have took the England job, but he didn't get offered it.
No, but I get that. I think they had to pay $6 million, wouldn't they? But it just felt with when Amanda Staveley left, that was his sort of like, that was his go-to. That was the one that brought him in. And he had a half decent start to the season, but now as soon as the first crack appears, I can just see that getting bigger and bigger.
I think the Newcastle project's in trouble, really. Just talking about relegation, I said on Friday, Ipswich at home to Everton, you can't lose that if you want to stay up. Southampton at home to Leicester, you can't lose that if you want to stay up. They've both lost.
Yeah, but Leicester have won. Let's focus on the positive.
Well, Leicester are the team at the moment that might get out of it, yeah. But I think Southampton and Ipswich, you can't lose those. Where are the points coming from? I've said that all season. They've got to get to 35 points. Where are they going to get those points? And that Ipswich first goal, he can head it out for a corner. He heads it back into danger.
Then the other guy
can boot it out for a corner and he turns into... I mean, you cannot defend like that in the Premier League. And Everton have been struggling, but they bullied them, really. Ipswich,
well, it feels like Leicester and Everton... Like, Everton are going to be Everton in terms of the way they play under Sean Dyche. And at least Leicester are adapting to doing that as well, aren't they? Like, you know, I've said enough about Russell Martin and his possession, but his start... The goals that Southampton scored were really nice goals, but then the defending for the final goal in the 98th minute, which is the last kick of the match, they're all stood in the 6-yard box, and Jordan Ayew's got the freedom of Southampton to hit a horrible shot in, which Ramsdale should save, and it's not looking good.
I was a question in the chat, and don't forget, if you're watching on YouTube, we're going to do an extra 10 minutes that we do, or 15 minutes that we do on the Spotify, because we're on Spotify with this if you want to listen to some of it later, etc. But there was a question in the chat there: who would you want to win the league out of Man City and Liverpool? I would like Man City to win the league over Liverpool, and then they get found guilty and relegated.
I'd like Liverpool to win the league by a clear and obvious margin.
I wouldn't. Because Liverpool are our genuine, credible biggest rival, but if they get handed it because Man City cheated, I take the piss out of both.
No, I really like Arne Slot. I hope Liverpool do it, and I hope they can beat.
Well, I find myself constantly saying I'm very jealous of what Liverpool have done for many years on how they on how they'll run and the rotation and everything. And I suppose that's where you want Man United to get. But
Lopetegui. Stinking start to the season.
Could be fired. We said this a couple of weeks ago. I mean, who do we think who is going to be the first manager sacked? I mean, I wouldn't say Ten Hag's out of the woods, but obviously one at the weekend.
Russell Martin.
Ham as a new manager.
Yeah. They got 8 points after 8 games. And I just think it's all fine and dandy wanting to bring a new style of football and change it all around. But like, for the level they're at and where they'd need to get to, they'd have to spend even more. Like, the job David Moyes done is just looking even better by each passing week, by the time that Lopetegui's taking them to different places, which is further down and down.
I think with that, it just depends on the board, doesn't it? Look, Gary O'Neill's not in any danger, but in a different board, he'd have been sacked.
Well, also, they've got no money as well, haven't they?
And West Ham, new manager, new players. It's a massive game next week, actually.
Like Leicester are above West Ham.
It could be the sack race next Sunday.
Yeah,
that would tell you. But just quickly on that, I can't believe how good Spurs have been this season, but they're only 2 points ahead of Man United. They absolutely stuffed them, didn't they? And can we just say, when it comes to officiating, I think it's been a horrible weekend, but kudos. If I'm a West Ham fan, I mean, I know we get these erratic players and we've seen it with Di Canio, etc., but I mean, he's ramming his hands into people's faces 2 or 3 times
well,
there,
he gets
isn't
away with the first one.
I thought
one.
He was playing wrestling at one point. You know when you come in the ring like Hulk Hogan and boom, boom, boom. I thought he'd floored Rickarlison, and then I saw that he actually went into someone, the back of someone's head, didn't he?
But and then he pushed Papasar in the face as well. Like, yeah, I just don't know what he was doing, especially at that level. And then that's definitely going to be a 3-game ban, isn't it? So I really don't see... I was speaking to a West Ham fan this morning, just says it feels rank. And like, there's not much to hang your hat on at the moment. If you are a West Ham fan,
I don't like the idea that we're playing them next Sunday, because I think it's like wounded animal. We're in Turkey on Thursday against Mourinho.
I think you should win both of those games.
I hope so. Let's have a quick look at our EFL review, because a bit of a mixed bag. I'm worried about Coventry. They lost again and they're just outside the relegation zone.
Yes.
You are Sunderland.
Hull City, Sunderland. Sunderland won 1-0. But we speak about officiating. I don't know if you saw it. Hull have got the ball down their end. And the referee actually gets away. So it hits him, comes back to the Hull player. So he says, play on. And he immediately gets tackled and Sunderland go down the other end and score. Mm-hmm. You don't want to see that. Preston beat Coventry, who were just outside the relegation zone. Charlton, which obviously...
I'm at Charlton on Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, what
watch
are you doing?
Along. Watch along.
Signing babies' faces.
Yeah, I'm singing
Let me entertain you.
In the middle of the pitch,
yes.
For an hour and at half-time.
And you'll announce that you have been and... running the club for what, the last 5 to 10 years?
Yeah.
And you're
bringing Kerbishley
back.
Yeah.
That was 1-1 against Stockport County. Blues won against Lincoln, went 1-0 down in the first minute.
Lincoln.
Yeah, well, you got to beat who's in front of you, mate, and that's what we did. Bolton, Tuesday night, me versus Stogden in the car park down Small Leaf. If he wants it, I'll give it to him.
He won't be there.
You said you'll sort out Thogdad.
They won't be there.
Me, you versus Stogdad.
He should be at that one, Birmingham, but I bet he won't be. Notts County won in League Two.
Cheltenham won.
Cheltenham won as well.
Cheltenham
won.
Just outside the relegation zone, so it was a big win.
And then Moors won as
Moors.
So we're just on the edge of the playoffs at the moment. So a bit of a mixed bag. Coventry lost, Charlton drew, County and Solihull Moors won. So I'll take, and Man United won. So I'll say,
and you saw it and you were there.
Good weekend.
Oh, lovely stuff.
There we go.
What a week. Champions League. What watch along?
Arsenal tomorrow night and Villa tomorrow night, and then Wednesday night Liverpool at Leipzig, who are joint top of the Bundesliga, and of course it's Bayern against Barcelona, so a couple of good nights. Then Man United against Mourinho on Thursday, so three good nights. Not doing Palace against Forest tonight, not interested in that.
If it was at Palace you'd do it.
Friday night football as well, yeah. Leicester Forest as well.
If it was at Palace you'd do it, because obviously that is a
very difficult place to go.
Thank you very much. If you are watching and you want to hear more, click the link in the top line of the description to go to the podcast, where we'll be doing 15 minutes of extra time when it gets really raunchy. See ya.
Thanks everyone.
Welcome back to Extra Time, where it gets really raunchy. We talk about different stuff, football and non-football stuff. I'm joined by Mark Goldbridge. Mark, how are you?
Good, thank you.
We have got questions that are football and non-football. Which one would you like to start with?
I will take a football one, please, Bob.
Thank you, Clive. Mason says, as a player, what era of football would you have been most successful at?
Well, I'm a very adaptive player with many layers to my game, so I would be good in any level. But I think the football I was at my best in the 90s, so that's where I would be in the 90s.
I think you'd get. We've obviously played together a few different times now. I think you'd be more suited to now.
Why?
Just get the system in there. You'd be sort of that sort of CDM, get the pass off, and you know, you could maybe do a job in a system.
Basically a better Rodri.
Yeah, a bit of that. I worry because I couldn't have done it back in the day because I'm very lanky. I'm not physical enough. I'd get roughed up, and I'm not...
You get protected in the modern game.
But I don't know if I'm technical enough to play. You know, you have to be a technical keeper now. It's not like I could even do that, and we've all seen me playing goal, so...
Probably be a no-nonsense Steve Bould at the back.
Yeah, I'll take that, yeah. I just hate heading the ball. I actually perfected an art of knowing where it was going to go from a goal kick and just take five steps back.
Yeah, you had to head the ball a lot more in the olden days.
Exactly, yeah, with a level one. Malopu, sorry if I've said that wrong, says, Will love Southgate so much. Why doesn't he want him at Blues? Or will he become a Man United fan if that fraud is the next Manchester United manager? Just because
That's a great question. I bet you'd love Southgate at Birmingham.
Not currently. Because
promoted to the Premier League in 2 years' time, Southgate comes in.
I mean, if
that's what you deserve.
If the situation was right and we needed a new manager, I would love Gareth Southgate at the club.
But only if you were stuck in League One.
No. We're doing a very good job.
He'd be a crap coach in the Championship and even worse in the Premier League.
Well, I really still think, we didn't speak about it today in the main podcast, but he's still not ruled out, while there's still not a Manchester United manager, there's still hope in my heart that Gareth Southgate
gets appointed. Leave Man United alone. You're not even a Man United fan.
Jamie says, all right, guys, what's the biggest animal you reckon you could take in a fight without any weapons? I'm sure you've had these on the stream.
I've done this before. Done it so many times. Look, if it's standing still, I can knock out a tiger, an elephant, a gorilla, and a polar bear. Line them up.
Yeah.
This is hypothetical, by the way, and they are willing participants. If I don't knock them out, they get a punch back.
I don't reckon you could knock any of those out.
Uppercut. It's all about jarring the jaw.
Biggest animal.
You could knock out a rabbit.
I'd go.
You'd probably knock one out to a rabbit.
What an image.
Tell you what, Jessica Rabbit from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Technically, she is a rabbit.
She was, I think there's a trend.
And a cartoon.
Trend on TikTok at the moment. It's like, who's your ultimate fantasy, but your weird fantasy. Jessica Rabbit back in the day was, I mean, that was a kid's film, really, wasn't it?
It was quite, when he puts the letter in the acid.
Yeah.
It's quite hard-hitting film, that. You know, it's Pulp Fiction for cartoons. But it's stupid, actually. I never realised Jessica Rabbit was a rabbit, even though she's called Jessica Rabbit.
But she was giving it quite a bit of,
deceptive. It's confusing.
Exactly. More on that later. Nice pod, guys. This is my favourite one to listen to. Question for Mark and Will, if you had to support a club from all of the other top five leagues, who would it be? So let's start in Germany. Where would you like to...
It's very cliche, but I think I would be Dortmund.
I'd do Dortmund just because of the Jude connections there. Italy. Now, you love your Italian football, don't
well,
you?
Well, I do. And I've always supported Juventus, which is obviously the fashionable club of Italy. But I did like Sampdoria growing up as well, Mancini and Vialli.
Yeah, you love the old lady, don't you? I think I'd go for... I think I'd quite like Napoli at the moment. Feels like it'd be a good trip. Also, you've got to think of what's the best place to go and watch football and have success and atmosphere, but also the best weekender to have away with that. Italy, France is a bit...
Marseille, I think.
I'll go for Bordeaux.
Because Chris Waddle played for Marseille.
I'll go Bordeaux. Andy
Papin. Jean-Pierre Papin. He was a good striker.
Which one haven't I done? Germany, Spain. Italy, Spain. Ooh. Now, I'm going to take my Jude Bellingham love out of there and do just because of Madrid. I think... I used to love Villarreal because the stadium's so unique when seeing them in Champions League football.
I'd go Madrid at the moment because I like some of the players, but I prefer Barcelona. I've always preferred Barcelona. Maybe it was because like...
But Simeone in there?
Yeah, I think there's not really any other Spanish club that I massively have any affection for. So I think I'd have to say Barcelona or Real Madrid in that. It's a bit boring. There must be another. Have we done four there?
Right, England is the other big one of those.
Yeah, there's no other big league, is there?
We'll finish on a question from Connor. He says, Mark and Will, what is your Mount Rushmore of alcohol? But I want you to do specific drinks. So for instance, for me, one of mine will be I had a gin and tonic in Copenhagen in this one bar and it had a... nice slather of cucumber in there and it was just really refreshing and I can still taste it today. So that would be one on there. A Guinness in Dublin, number two. Would you join me on that? Lemon?
I'd have to have a good pint of lager, a red wine, probably a Malbec.
Yeah.
I would probably have a Guinness from Dublin, yeah. And then fourth, just trying to think. I mean, I do quite like... I'm a seasonal drinker, so I do quite like a whiskey at Christmas or a rum and coke, but I do like a Hendrick's gin and tonic with a bit of cucumber, so yeah, that's nice. I'm trying to think, there's a drink that just jumps out at me that I go, oh, I love that. But
are you a mulled wine fan at Christmas?
I do like mulled wine at Christmas.
I'm trying to get better
at Christmas.
Yeah,
like mince pie, only eat it at Christmas.
I don't really like mince pies. I need to read.
I had some Brussels sprouts for yesterday for lunch. They're something that come out for Christmas. No, we had it with a lovely beef stew, some mashed swede, and then some Brussels and horseradish sauce. It was very, very appetising. Proper Sunday, really windy, really dark, really wet yesterday. So it was like, get the fire on, get the stew on, get the football on.
Yeah. I had...
get them off.
Yeah, exactly. I had it's very Tory, but I had the 2 for £10 pie deal at Marks and Spencer's, which I was really excited for, Mark. The pies were tasteless.
I do like a good pie. As
I like
opposed
a good
to a bad pie.
Yeah. Where do we have good pies at? Worcester. Oh, you know the King Charles pub? Worcester.
Yeah, I went for a drink there.
The pies there, unbelievable. The pies are great, and then you can choose what flavour of mash you want.
Ooh.
So
what's the flavours?
Cheese, garlic, spring onion, black pudding, chorizo.
They do that. Well, I went to a wedding in Belfast once, and they had it's basically mashed potato, but they call it cold cannon.
Right.
And it's mashed potato with spring onion in it. And I'm tempted to say bacon, but the Irish will know. They call it cold cannon.
Nice.
Yeah.
Lovely. Well, on that bombshell, I think we should end there. If you want to get your question in, make sure you drop us a like, follow us on Spotify and drop one in the comments there. We'll answer them on Friday. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, everyone, for watching. Make sure you keep supporting the podcast, Legends, and we'll speak to you on Friday, of course. Bye.
Bye.